Okay. I've written the worst intro for any of our shows ever. I could not focus.
Were you listening to our
are you getting head at the same time?
She's out.
You were getting head or you weren't getting head?
No.
I
said no.
I was making...
You turned down head?
She's not here.
Oh, okay.
Cooper totally turned down head. I don't know what his...
I'm home alone.
Oh, well, see, I just came on, so I didn't know
I
that.
Didn't turn down anything.
Okay.
Were we distracting you from talking?
A little.
Oh, we're so sorry. Was it the whole thing about Roadhead and that? Was that like getting in your way of trying to concentrate?
Yes, because I kept thinking about how we as a show don't endorse Roadhead.
Welcome to the Swing Sets. Climb on up. There is always a swing available. On Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, we explore ethically non-monogamous relationships, the pleasures and passions, the promise and pitfalls. We discuss all aspects of ethical non-monogamy in a fun, open, and welcoming fashion, with a gleam in our eye, a bounce in our step, our hands down your pants. Ooh, sorry, got ahead of myself. We may be biased. In fact, we most certainly are. But we don't sugarcoat, and each of us speaks honestly and earnestly about our thoughts, ideas, and experiences throughout our very own Lives on the Swing Set. Thanks for swinging by.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh no, when you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus a free extra gift so essential we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So go to adamandeve.com today for the special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type swing set for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use the offer code SWINGSET at adamandeve.com.
Friends with benefits, sex with benefits, lovers, friends, one-night stands, anonymous sex, and more. Tonight we're going to be discussing the age-old swinging question. Do we want to be friends with these people we fuck? And talk about how relationships and closeness can affect not only your swinging relationships, but your relationship with your primary. Tonight on Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, I'm Cooper Beckett, and with me tonight I have...
Hey everybody, it's Ginger.
Hey, it's Dylan.
And we are lucky enough to be joined by JV Altharos and Shara from Ending the Sexual Dark Age. Welcome, guys.
Welcome.
Thank you. Fantastic to be here. Good to hear your voices again.
Yes, we are also joined by their bell. Now, give us a quick one. Yes. And this bell goes off whenever Shara gets blushy. Is that correct?
Well, it's when I've counted to restrain myself. I've narrowed it down to when she tries not to blush and fails miserably.
So it's a very specific set of circumstances.
Yes. I tend to blush a lot. So he kind of like really lets me have it by... when I try to hide it from him, and I'm not successful ever. Ever.
Well, welcome to the show tonight, guys. We're really happy you were able to join us for this.
We are too, and it's great to be back and to be with you guys again.
And so before we get started, we do a thing called business. So does anyone have any business here tonight? Things that don't involve the topic that they'd like to talk about?
Well, I can start with the fresh, brand new business of a new crush.
Oh.
Ooh.
So tell us more about that.
Well, it's fresh, brand new crush. So I was thinking about, actually, it was really funny. I was listening to the Kinkorama episode because I hadn't heard it. Like,
Kinkorama ruled.
I know. I had such a good time. So I was listening to it because I hadn't heard it. I had only experienced it in making it happen.
So you're saying it should have been heard, not experienced, or experienced, not heard?
No, both were wonderful. But when I listened...
She gets off very differently when she's experiencing it and then when she's reliving it.
Ah, I see.
Well, it was just, it's sometimes you know, you hear things, you hear insights, and it was funny to have the conversation toward the end of the episode with Shira about the whole sapiosexual thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never, up until she asked the question, you know, do you consider that a kink or a fetish or something that goes above and beyond just an attraction? And I hadn't really thought about it until she asked that question. And I responded to her during the episode, and then it became food for thought after the episode. And then I met my new crush, and I am just realizing how much that affects my attraction to people. That, you know, I thought, yeah, you know, oh, sure, it's nice to have an intellectual connection and have things in common that you can chat about. And again, then I met this person, and I'm just blown away by how much that has influenced my attraction to him. So, so that was really my biggest insight. Was I didn't realize that was that much of a factor until she asked the question. And then immediately after, I had this experience of meeting this person who is now my, like, full blown head over heels amazing crush.
Good
yes.
For you.
Yes.
It
yes.
is. It's very good.
Yes. So that's really all there is to say at this point, because it's so fresh and new, but there may be updates.
Well, we'll be watching for the updates.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So I've got a little business, and it's more of a little bit of a frustrated business item here, but it's really small. So
it's really small and frustrating. I know how it is.
All right. So, you know, you all know that I've gone on several rants over the last couple of years, and I keep laughing when I say couple of years. And I feel like ever since Newt Gingrich and his presidential campaign has both ebbed and flowed twice, I felt ready to explode in about 15 different directions on where to go, not just with him, but with the Republican presidential primary, the social issues that have been going on, you know, with the Girl Scouts, which we talked about, with contraception, with even the idea that you can actually have sex for pleasure. All of this stuff is in the public consciousness. It's getting thrown out onto the media right now, and I feel like I need 15 shotguns in 15 different directions, and I'm ready to fire. I don't know where to focus my attention right now, so I'm actually kind of throwing this out there and saying I need ideas on where I can focus my rage right now. I would like to rage
Rick Santorum.
Yeah. I would love to rage. Yes,
women's reproductive rights, Dylan.
Yes.
Really, that's
and,
it.
And I think that's where I want to focus it, but I want to know where
but the best
specifically
thing is,
I could put my effort
in this. This could be the greatest thing that has ever happened to the Democratic Party. Someone like Rick Santorum, who is almost unelectable, period, because he will snap like crazy. He already has several times about mm-hmm. little things that he should not make a big deal out of. And he's actively pissing off not just the women on the Democrat side, but the women on the Republican side.
But see, I don't even care about the party thing. I think it's the greatest thing that will happen for general health, for women's liberation, at least in the last 5-10 years, because mm-hmm. it's all this stuff that we've, at least my generation has been, and yes, I'm calling myself up as young and stupid now. My generation has taken for granted because other people fought for it already and we won it, is under attack again. I want to fight somewhere. I want to fight something, but I don't know exactly specifically where I should focus my attention. So I'm looking for a place to focus these 15 shotguns that are pointed in different directions. And I'd like ideas on where exactly to do it. Yes, I would love to focus on the contraception. And
is
the
that your
issues.
Assignment, America?
Yes, it's my assignment, sex positive assignment, America.
There you go.
Love that.
I need some help. So tell me where to focus. And if I find something that's both interesting, well, everything's interesting, effective, and something that I can actually do, and I don't like to qualify that, but, you know, I have my own constraints, of course. I want to do it. So I just need to find out where I should aim.
So, for example, if it required wearing a panda suit 9 hours a day, you probably wouldn't be interested.
I think you'd totally do it.
I would say 3 hours or less a day, I could do it.
What if it had one of those little built-in air conditioning systems?
Ooh. That would be a side benefit. I could take a lot of heat. I've been to Burning Man, man. Call Heat's a not perk. A problem.
Perhaps room for two in the panda suit?
Ooh,
with a fan?
Well, all right, 9 hours a day is looking a lot better now.
There you go.
Well, no, yeah, I am feeling similar frustration. And during major election years, I spend a lot of time angry, which Shara can vouch for.
He does.
Yeah.
Spend a lot of time very angry and screaming at my television. And, you know, I just don't get a lot of it. I mean, I think the Democrats have no balls.
I agree.
They don't actually stand up for anything. I said when Obama, or after Obama was elected, I voted for him, perfectly proud of it. But, when I imagined our first black president, I was hoping for a little less Colin Powell, a little more Sam Jackson.
To be perfectly honest. I'll talk to that. Yeah. Yeah.
I just think that there aren't any good choices out there this time. I mean, I feel like, you know, well, sometimes the president, obviously it takes another term to really get things going, but I just, as far as the Republicans go, I just feel like, you know, there's so many things with politicians anymore. It's really difficult to even have faith and trust anything that they say. And it's just frustrating because I kind of feel the same way about the shotgun theory. It's like, okay, I need to go to the driving range and practice.
What's really getting this to me, or what's really getting to me right now, is the level of absurdity that's out there right now. And it's not just the fact that Rick Santorum is a serious presidential candidate, which is pretty damned absurd. It's that...
Use quotes around the word, please. Serious, please.
Right. And serious.
It's a bizarro world level absurdity. Well, I mean, it really is.
When you think back to just, not even, what, 2-3 months ago, Newt Gingrich was actually, they told Santorum to go and sit down and go away, basically, because it was going to be between Newt and Mitt. And now, it's basically they're saying, Newt, go away. You know? So, it's taken a bizarre turn of twists.
I predict an 11th hour entry by Caribou Barbie.
Yay! I want to see Obama go head to head with her. That was the most disappointing thing about the last election, is I never got to see Obama take her down. We had to watch
a brokered convention. Just thinking about it,
brokered convention, guys.
Yeah, we ought to move on though.
Yeah, I'll just summarize by saying the thing that's squicking me out the most about the whole thing is that so much of what's being debated out in public with, let's just say, sexual liberation is so probably wrong. Positions that the candidates and that the whole American system has been pushing for and supporting for 5, 10, 15, 20 years have just been thrown up on their head. People that have said they've been doing and supporting one thing for years are all of a sudden saying this is an insult and an affront to religious freedom and all this other stuff. So it's just, it's fucking crazy. And I don't even know what to do about it. So that's why I brought it up. And I almost apologize for bringing it up now.
No, I'm glad you brought it up, Dylan, because I will say that I have felt like it's like someone standing behind me whacking me in the head. Mm-hmm. Like every time I look at another news outlet, I'm like, seriously, whack upside the head. And I don't see it coming, but now I kind of do. And I'm glad you mentioned it because I'm more prepared for it and ready to do something about it, like you said. So I'd love to hear what people think.
As individuals and as a website that is very strongly opinionated on sexual freedom.
There you go.
Because that's what they're trying to take away. Sexual freedom. They don't want you having sex.
So if you have ideas for me, you can either tweet them to me at Dylan_Swinset on Twitter, or you can send me an email at Dylan@lifeontheswingset.com, or ping any of us because we'll have a good time with this.
Absolutely.
So I have a little business too. I actually went on my first date.
Yay!
Since 1999 last night. Nice.
Now who's dating themselves?
And it was really cool. It was, I call it my first date because it was the first non-swinging date and one that I didn't bring my wife on.
How did it go?
Went very well.
Good. Had a good time?
I did. It was different because, you know, you know, swinging first dates are, you have a lot of conversation really quickly, usually.
Mm-hmm.
It's more focused,
yeah. Yeah. So it was definitely different, very interesting. And the coolest thing is that I'm using this as my way to learn how to not worry about rejection. So this dating thing is completely focused on being okay with whichever way it goes.
Sounds good.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So that's my goal with this.
That is a worthwhile mission. And being a stage performer taught me to deal with rejection. Because sometimes, even if you're doing everything right, the audience just isn't into it.
Oh, yeah.
So I got burned on, or I got to learn that lesson fairly early.
I missed out on that because I only saw hotness when I watched you perform. Seriously, there was like this huge crowd. And, you know, I don't know if I ever shared that story, but we were going to the Renaissance Festival and he was performing there and he's like, okay, you know, when we get there, I might not know some of the names because a lot of them are fans. So if I don't introduce you, maybe you can introduce yourself and then we'll both know their names. And I thought to myself, this is when I first met him. I thought,
a program that works in any situation, by the way, put that one in your pocket.
And I said, wow, this guy's really got an ego. So we get out of the car. Literally, we just closed the door and we've barely moved. And all of a sudden, you know, we hear Max, Max, that was his stage name. And they're like, tell me that you're going to be performing. And he's like, well, we're going to be here for one show, you know, and they asked us to come back. And so a couple more feet, Max, Max. I mean, this went on, I'm not kidding, 30 people before we ever got to the front gate. I didn't tell him until this past year that I had to like kind of eat my words because it wasn't about having an ego. It was really true. So
sure.
And then when they went to perform, there was this huge crowd. And I'm so glad because it was the last year that they really performed the same group that it had been. And I was so glad I got to see it because it was awesome. So it was really good. And I had to eat my words recently.
And other things, I'd imagine.
Goes without saying for me.
Before the record, I do have a huge ego. It's just justified once in a while.
Okay.
I've heard people like good egos.
Well, let's jump on over into the topic here. Because
sounds like fun.
This is something we've actually been wanting to talk about for a long time. And I think I know where pretty much everyone in this camp is, and where everyone who's been messaging me online stands is it seems like the swinging default is shifting to a lot more of the what people call friends first, which is we're looking for friendships and relationships and then sex, or sometimes concurrently. But the goal is still the same, is that ultimately what most of the people I've been talking to today and in general want is that relationship that's going to last a month, a few months, a year. And I think what it is it's a light way to approach the fact that we can develop feelings for the people we play with and often do. And so if you aim for this friends first thing and you have people in your lives, it's a lot more acceptable to develop feelings than trying to hide from it, I think. So we're talking about friends and benefits and friends we fuck tonight.
Sounds like fun.
Well, if you can't fuck your friends.
Way before I was ever even into the lifestyle, I had a friend that we were at a wedding. We were, you know, both single and we've been friends for a very long time. And we were there with dates. And then one of them, her date said, you know, I want to see you finger her. And she's like, okay, I will. And I said, well, I'm not wearing any panties. So next thing you know, one thing led to, what can I say? One thing led to another. And, you know, we were playing. Next thing you know, we were playing and because we were friends, I wasn't sure how it was going to be the next day. And this is when I'm just kind of like discovering, you know, myself and
how much you like pussy.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Try to cut right through it.
Yeah. And
you can
it was
be blunt
a lot
on our show.
It's yeah, okay. I know. And it was a lot of fun, but I still get shy. So it was a lot of fun. And we were fine the next day. She called me up. We were talking and it was like, you know, it was great to have a friend like that, that I could do those things with mm-hmm. and have so much fun.
I think a lot of people also will sort of stumble their way into the swinging lifestyle with a set of friends that they're a little closer to than everyone else in their life. And it sort of opens that window a little bit. And you look at it and it's like, well, this could be inappropriate if people looked at it from the outside, but it seems to be working here for us. And so I've heard of a lot of lifestyle stories that begin with, so we got really drunk with this couple. And, well, we did some stuff.
Well, as good a way as any.
That's absolutely. That is that akin to the vanilla convert or the vanilla pickup, or that seems as
I such would
a-
consider the vanilla pickup only when you go out trolling for vanillas and then okay. try to turn them. Okay. The vanilla convert, yes, because we are all converted from vanilla at some point.
True.
Well, yeah, I may have managed to convert women into one night stand three ways on a few occasions back in the day.
Just tonight.
You know, it's if you're just a little fucked up.
Were you going
up,
anywhere with that, or were you just bragging?
Yeah,
I could brag too. I've had a couple of good stories. Conversions too. Unfortunately, it didn't lead to anything recurring. But you know what? I can still claim the one night stand, man.
Totally.
That, so.
Well, exactly. Yeah, it's just one of those things when you hang out, you are friends with sexually open minded people. For someone who maybe has not been as sexually adventurous as they would have liked to have been and offer to, you know, get double teamed after the bar can turn into interesting things. You know, it's, you just have to have a good wingman or wing girl. You know, when you're out hanging with the vanillas and, in charge situations and you've got proper backup, anything can happen.
I'll Absolutely. Always be your wing girl.
Mm. See, I'm the outgoing one, so I've been slowly elbowing Tonya into the wing girl position, and she's slowly getting more outgoing and slowly willing to, you know, go out.
I've seen that. You grab her by the shoulders and just kind of shove her forward and then look the other way.
I do not do that.
Totally.
Absolutely not.
It's like, you take this one.
Maybe once or twice, but.
Yes.
Now I kind of pictured him just pushing her like, oh, that was an accident. didn't mean to grab you that hard, and next thing you know, she's bumping into somebody.
You know, that happened at a party a couple weeks ago. I accidentally bumped into someone, and then I threw Tonya at that person and said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to throw Tonya to you, too. And we ended up having a very nice conversation.
And it's all because of you.
Yeah, see, I can brag about that, too, then, right?
So let's talk about the benefits of being friends with... Let's consider it from the point of view of you're meeting a couple in a standard swinging fashion through a website at a party, and whether or not you want to then develop a friendship that will go longer. For me, one of the benefits of the friendship is then you can develop a sense of trust, you know, so you are more likely to try more unique things. And I've heard that from the other side too, where, you know, some people are more comfortable doing the risky, dirty things in a one night stand. But for me, it's all about finding that comfort level with someone before I'm willing to share the crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I think you have to build up trust too. You know, mm-hmm. And that comes with friendship.
That whole first encounter or first couple encounters is kind of a double-edged sword, I think. I love that excitement of the first meeting of someone trying to impress somebody, trying to figure out what they like. I love all that stuff. But at the same time, I also like not feeling that pressure to impress somebody or to perform right on cue.
Mm-hmm.
I know we've talked about that kind of stuff a lot. So I like it. I really do like meeting somebody like that, but I think I do appreciate being able to develop a friendship with somebody because I can ask for all sorts of things. I can negotiate a little more. We can figure out more about each other. And it's just a lot less pressure and a lot more fun, I guess, when it can get to that point.
I typically can tell if there's a connection right away when I meet somebody, and then it becomes very easy for me to engage in conversation and to the next level if I'm comfortable with them. But I have to feel a comfortability with them, you know. I can usually tell right away the it's going to work out or it's not going to, at least to the point where we're going to have a good time. We're going to have a good evening together.
For me, I spend a lot of the early time together wondering about every little thing. I'm an analyzer. And so I'm
really?
Thinking four steps through the game. It's like, okay, is this working? Maybe I should try. Maybe, oh no, she doesn't like me. I don't think she likes. I spend most of my time thinking like that. And once I'm friends with people, I generally don't think about that too much anymore, which is far more relaxing for me.
It does let you off the hook a bit. And I think about Prof and I, and I can't speak for him, I guess, but I feel like we go into initial interactions with people making a couple of assumptions that maybe we shouldn't. One is that they're kind of seeking a friendship as well and wanting that other kind of more extended dynamic of having a friendship, being able to talk, being able to connect between dates. And I find myself, if that's not the case, that we don't connect on that level, even if there's an attraction, that my overall attraction is lesser. So, you know, it's not as much, I feel like it's not as much a conscious decision as much as it is just what I'm seeking. And that it's so much more attractive to me and so much more sexy if there can be that friendship connection and also seeing each other, like I said, in between dates where it's a vanilla context, but it has kind of an edge to it. And knowing that you may have another date in a couple of weeks, but you could see each other in between. I like to have that as I don't know. I don't want to call it an expectation, but maybe I need to, because I think that maybe that is what it is, that is something that we're seeking, even if we haven't said it out loud, that every time we meet someone new, we are seeking that opportunity to have a fuller interaction than just a sexual interaction.
Right.
Well, you know, and I also think that the better you know someone is sexually or just as a person, I think you get sex that is more highly charged. You know, you become a better lover when you see, when you're with the same person or people over and over again. It gets better for all of you because there are things you don't have to ask. You know, there are more, there's more you understand about what they enjoy. And I think that kind of naturally leads to a personal connection. And I think that's a great part of it, you know, depending on how rough and dirty you like to play. You know, I like to play pretty rough and dirty. And until I get to know somebody pretty well, you know, I mean, there are a lot of things, as Coop was saying, you know, there are a lot of things that it's just not responsible to do with somebody that you just met that you've only been with a couple of times, you know. So I think for us, the deeper connection with the kinky play is almost mandatory. You know, it's like the first couple of times you're with somebody, it's kind of a feeling each other out type of thing. But you've got to really start understanding limits and, you know, what kinds of things people are interested in. And it's just, it's fascinating and it's wonderful and it's incredibly complex, but it also lends itself to longer relationships.
And I'll back up what Jin's saying. You know, one of my favorite things about having these connections with people is that middle of the week tweet flirting. You know, a middle of the week, texting back and forth that you can do, because it's that kind of thing where it's just like, just a little, message from someone that they were thinking about you that can change your whole day, you know, and that's, it's not something you get when you don't have the friendship there, because without the friendship, everyone's sort of worried about, overstepping boundaries.
Right.
But if you've laid out, this is where we're comfortable, this is what we like, this is what we're good with, and this is what we actually appreciate, then you can get so much more out of the relationship. And, you know, I use the word relationship a lot, and that does sometimes rub people the wrong way. But I think they're all relationships, regardless of
the...
I agree.
Well, they totally are. Totally. Mm-hmm. And, Coop, I think you hit on something that we've been talking about, but we haven't really said, like you just said, it is that idea of knowing boundaries. Mm-hmm. Being able to... And, you know, and JV was kind of saying that, too, around the kink play, and just knowing that... You know, a partner's not going to get upset if you text one of the partners to say something saucy, you know, because it occurred to you because, ooh, just in that moment, you had a sexy thought about that person and you wanted to share that charge with them. And so you send them a sexy text, you know, even if it's tame sexy, like if you've been friends with them and you know that that is okay and you've had those discussions, then you can feel unfettered in doing mm-hmm. that. And it lends an erotic charge to the whole thing. And you're not worried and you're not doing that second guessing and that analyzing like, oh, I don't know if she wants me to do that with him or him, me to do that with her. Blah, 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 blah. You know, you can just do it and enjoy it in a very, just, what am I trying to say? Just go with it. Just let the pleasure be the pleasure and not feel like, oh gosh, next time we see them on a date in a month, I should check in and make sure it's okay. I mean, that's all part of the process to get there, but certainly laying that trust foundation allows for just that unfettered enjoyment of the pleasure and doing it in a way that works for everybody because you've been there and you've talked about it and you've done all of that negotiating.
And it's not even just about the trust with the play. I mean, I would feel comfortable with Tonya going and playing with several of my friends because I trust them and I'm friends with them and I feel like they would treat her right and they'd have a good time and she'd have a good time. And so, you know, if there's ever a time and effort imbalance on when either of us can go out, for us to be able to have the extra options of play is kind of nice, especially when you have kids and you know, one person's got to stay home half the time. So it works out nice.
Because having that friendship can lead to those other variations that are harder to get. You know, the single girl is called the unicorn because she's so hard to find. But if you're really close with a couple and you can work it out and no one's going to be jealous, sometimes one of the girls can come over. Sometimes one of the guys can come over. So you can explore those other avenues. Because I know that I've never been comfortable with the idea of a single male coming in that I don't know beforehand, you know.
Sure.
But I am comfortable with the male half of couples that we're with coming over. And we can have that MMF threesome that Marilyn so desperately wants.
Hi.
And... Yes. Are you raising your hand, Dylan?
You can't see it from there.
I can hear a hand raised in your voice.
Oh, that is just...
You know, Dylan, I'm thinking this might even be a bell moment for you. I'm just ringing up the bell on your hand. I'm just saying.
Ring it. There we go.
That's for Dylan.
Aw.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And that is awesome to have that trust. And, you know, Prof and we've tweeted a fair amount about it, about a particular relationship we have that's, you know, 5+ years now, with a couple, which is just, wow. Like, we can't even believe it. We're just like, are you kidding me? Oh my gosh. And it has been a long time getting to a place where all of that is, not that it wasn't easy before, but you know, you don't want to take things for granted. You want to mm-hmm. be very respectful. And we are now at a place with this particular couple where it just flows so easily in a lot of ways, but you know, you still don't want to have expectations. You still aren't, I don't know. I guess I'm just pulling back from it too. It's that as much as you are friends and have that connection and have that trust, there is still a different level of making sure that they're okay and making sure that just doing the double checking and not making assumptions, because of course their relationship is evolving just the same as yours is. And so sometimes you're not privy to when things might change, or I don't know, this is kind of the caveat part of it. It's that, you know, just always checking in and not making the assumptions that how you played last month or the month before is exactly how everybody wants it again, because they might be in a different place. So I feel like our communication with this particular couple is, you know, at that place now where we're able to do the, have the deeper discussions and really put some risky fantasies on the table, just to, you know, like let kind of opening up your brain to them to say, you know, this is what we're really made of. And that's pretty amazing, but also just not taking it for granted that it's going to be the same every single time.
Well, I also think, you know, taking that a little bit further, even that the closer you are with another couple, the more likely it is that when there is a concern in the four-way relationship, it will be addressed rather than just, okay, there's an issue here, so we're going to disappear.
Right. Yeah, I'll admit, I've had a real problem, as much as I've talked about always being open about this, when I've put it into practice, if I haven't been interested in a couple, I have a harder time telling a couple I don't know that well that I don't want to see them than I do with a couple that I've actually become friends with. And when I've done it, I've actually felt better telling the couples that I know more that, you know, I'm just not interested in playing with you right now, but I still want to be your friends because you're cool people, as opposed to just not interested in, you know, but I'll pay lip service to wanting to be friends with you. It just works better when I've known a couple, I guess. Not to say that I haven't told couples, you know, no thanks. But, you know, there's that middle stage where it's just a little uncomfortable. I kind of know them and kind of see them socially a little bit. And then I say no. It's a little weird at that point.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue talking about being friends with our playmates. We'll be right back with Life on the Swings at the podcast.
Hey, Cooper, guess what?
What's that, Shira?
I just found the most amazingly sex-positive, eco-friendly, progressive, female-run sex shop.
Oh, really? This place sounds great. Who are these people, and how did they get the elusive Shira B. Cat stamp of approval?
They have the cutest name. They're called Smitten Kitten. Their brick-and-mortar store is located in Minneapolis, and their online shop is located at www.smittenkittenonline.com. They specialize in high-quality sex toys and equipment for people of all genders and sexual orientations. Handmade, one-of-a-kind items, non-toxic, medical-grade toys, educational books and DVDs, and even ethically produced porn on demand.
Oh, Shira.
What?
Get with the times! Everybody knows about smittenkittenonline.com. In fact, Life on the Swing Set has partnered with Smitten Kitten to give all of our listeners a 10% discount when they buy items from their online store. All our listeners have to do is enter the code SWINGSET at checkout, and boom! Discount.
No way. I can use it too? They have the super hot harness I got my eye on.
Absolutely. In fact, I invite you and all of our listeners to go to smittenkittenonline.com and use the product code SWINGSET. Not only will you get 10% off your purchase, but you'll also be supporting one of the most progressive and sex-positive businesses in the industry.
All right, Cooper, I'm on it. www.smittenkittenonline.com. Discount code SWINGSET.
You'll be glad you came.
Okay, so Life on the Swing Set is going to Desire from November 3rd through 10th of 2012. So just before the apocalypse, if you believe what you read.
Oh, you mean the election?
Yes, that one.
Yes, oh, okay.
Good, we can go out with tequila shots then.
That's
perfect.
Right.
Perfect. Right. In the sex swing. And, even better.
We're going to be doing fun party type atmospheres. We're going to be doing a speed dating shopping. We're going to have a pole dancing lesson, some toy demonstrations. As you heard, we tend to like toy demonstrations. We'll probably have the Cooper there with you if I can smuggle it through Mexican security.
So, Cooper, if people are interested in joining us at Desire, how do they find out how to get there?
Well, we're going with Char Travel, and if you listened to a few episodes back, you heard them talk about how awesome sexy vacations are, and you can email them at info@chartravel.com, or you can give them a call at 215-321-4451. Just make sure you mention that you want to go to Desire with Life on the Swing Set.
That sounds great. So if you're interested, please contact Char Travel, and we'll see you there.
Welcome back to Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. Tonight we're talking about friends and lovers, and do we want to be friends with these people we fuck? And it's seeming like, correct me if I'm wrong, friends, that we do want to be friends with these people we fuck. And that seems to be the overwhelming opinion that I'm seeing here tonight.
Absolutely.
And, I want to see how many times Cooper can fit friends in one sentence.
Friends.
Sentence, no,
see,
not fragment.
I'm using these code words. See, I'm inputting this into your brains that I want to be friends with people I fuck, and you're my friends. See what I'm doing there? It's a thing. It's a thing. And you called attention to it. So we got a tweet that they're curious whether or not it's friends then fuck or fuck then friends. And Dylan, I know you wanted to say something about that.
It's kind of funny. I've found that most of the friends I've made through the lifestyle have been people that we've fucked first. And come to think of it, most of the people that we've been friends with that have ended up in the lifestyle, we just haven't ended up fucking for some reason or another. So I think that Tonya and I have had a much better hit rate when we've actually fucked people and then kind of find out that we actually wanted to hang out with each other. So we've found it that way. And I think it actually works a little bit better that way when you're looking for couples online. If we're on a swinger website, us putting up a request for friends probably would not go out or be as successful as us putting up a request for a fuck session or going out to a club or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I think just naturally when you're looking for, when you're finding people online, it works better that way. If you're kind of getting into a new group of people though, I think it's a lot easier to become friends first and then end up fucking each other.
When for me, the only thing that really matters to me is that the intent is to develop a friendship, a relationship. I don't mind getting to the fucking quickly if I don't feel like that's all it is. You know, if we have the intent to become friends and we have a great time and then, you know, maybe it just doesn't work out. That's okay. We tried. But,
yeah, I think, our attitude is kind of friends first is great with the ability to completely disregard that when the fire alarm goes off. You know, it's every once in a while.
And it's gone off on your end.
You run into people who you have real immediate sexual chemistry with. And in those situations, well, you know, maybe you don't need to be friends first or spend any time getting to know somebody.
I always have to check out the crazy level, you know, there's different
Well, and that's
kinds
the
crazy.
Most important thing. Yeah. There, and I.
And you
I
didn't enacted, do that all the time.
What's that?
Before we met, you did not do that.
Well, you know, a man learns from his experiences.
You
I've
sure
found
did.
Some pretty deep wells of crazy. That's true, but I've gotten a lot better at spotting it early.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I knew. You and one me, thing. Buddy.
I knew one thing though. I knew obviously you were a good fuck when a girl's trying to get in on the second floor, crawling up to the second floor of your apartment.
Oh, I can't
to get
you
into your.
That up.
Well, it's the truth. Because she just wanted to fuck
yeah,
you.
Yeah, the night I was raped.
Yeah. Right. Oh yes, please don't. Don't.
Well, technically
stop.
It's true. Well, see, now I got it. I'm going to try. It's a long story, but I got to do the abridged version since you brought it up.
One more night with your cock, sir. One more.
The batshit craziest woman I ever dated. This is when I was working with strippers, of course, and also playing, this is before we were playing up at the festival, but I go up to the Renaissance Festival for the weekend to hang out and pick up on some women, and who do I pick up on? A stripper. I should have known right there. But she was a fantastic dancer, and she was a great fuck. And it took a little while for the crazy to really become visible. then I found out from her roommate, that she had stopped taking her Prozac after she met me because she decided that I was so great she didn't need the Prozac anymore.
As I said, you were a really good fox, see?
Yeah, so that was the only time I had the full-on Jerry Springer screaming outside the apartment building moment with a woman. That was the only time ever.
And, it's time for her next
injection. There was another one. There was another one.
Well, it wasn't. Yes, there was, but that wasn't my relationship. I was just a happy spectator. So she ended up leaving town, which I thought was great. And several months later, you know, she calls me and she's like, "Yeah, I just feel bad the way we left it. Would you mind just, you know, meeting me for a drink someplace?" And so that night, I was drinking them pretty fast because, well, I was there with her, and I was at a club with a bunch of friends, so I figured that'd protect me. So we get a ride, me and my roommate get a ride home, and I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm fucking, and I'm still drunk. I mean, it's like I got home at 2:30 and it's like 4:00. I'm still hammered. So I wake up and there's a woman on top of me riding me, you know? So my first
Such
thought
rough
is,
life.
Oh, well, that's, yeah, that's pretty nice actually. Who the hell is this? And I realized who it was. And I knew in that moment I really should just throw her off of me, but I was drunk and it was 4:30 and I was already in there.
JV, you know what we say about sticking your dick in crazy.
Well, I didn't know it was crazy.
And what we say is don't.
No, wait.
Yeah, yeah.
By exactly. Then you knew.
And we'll also share that, you know, we all have a right to our own crazies. You know, it doesn't even matter what we do for a living, but certainly there are crazies of all types.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, she had scaled my second floor balcony, broken into my apartment, drank a bottle of wine at some point, either before or after I threw her out of my room. And then when it was finished, I told her, you know, she needed to leave, and she got up and started throwing shit at me, screaming at me about how I just use her.
Wow.
Oh, nice, nice.
I mean, the only thing missing from that story is I'm going to take a whole bunch of pills. I don't even know.
Well, if she'd been taking the damn pills, we probably wouldn't have had any problems.
Okay, so that was the one, and then wasn't there another one, though?
Oh, do we really have to go through the litany of my crazy
exes? It's story time, yay!
Well, I'm just saying that I have to know that the crazy isn't kind of there. That's my comfortable,
right?
You know, I have to have a comfortable zone of they're not crazy type of thing. There's a wild crazy, and then there's crazy crazy. And right. You know.
Well, there are so many different kinds of crazy, and a lot of them can be difficult to spot until you know somebody a little bit.
Yeah, I get this gut feeling, though, and so that's why I said I can almost immediately tell. You know, I'm usually sexually attracted to somebody and, well, sexually attracted to a lot of people. But anyway.
Isn't it nice?
Yeah, it is. It's great. You know, I mean, JV is right about the fact that I'm very lucky because being bisexual, I, you know, get to enjoy the beautiful women out there and the handsome men. So I really, like, get a lot of
buffet.
Yeah. It's kind of fun. So yes, I can't argue that one. But I like that attraction, and I also get this immediate sense of connection with somebody. So for me, it could easily be friends and then right to fucking. For me.
I want to read a few responses to this question from Facebook here, from our Facebook listeners. As I said, that it seems to be overwhelmingly on the side of we do want to be friends. Only way to do it, in my opinion, friends with benefits are the best. We like building long-term friendships with play partners. It not only makes the sex better, but also allows other elements into the equation. We travel with, party with, hang out randomly, do business with, etc. Friends we make in the lifestyle. That one I want to expound upon because I've found that lifestyle groups, you know, extended swing circles, they do a lot for each other that vanillas don't. You know, they're the ones who will come and pick you up when your car breaks down.
Mm-hmm.
They'll even take you to the fucking airport. And who wants to do that?
Sucks, I'll tell you that much.
And that's the kind of thing you only do for people you've got a genuine connection with.
Absolutely.
It's true.
And it does remind me of the things from that were said in Sex at Dawn, where they talk about how sex bonds community, and so expanded sexuality beyond monogamy brings an entire community together in ways that monogamous communities just aren't. You know, we have our divisions with our yards, and the other people are on the other side of the yard. They're not well, part and of I think our
a,
life.
Oh, I think right. a lot of that too is, you know, they, if you can spend time with people where you are past the, you know, the potential jealousy or, you know, this, oh, if you let somebody get too close to you, they might try to steal your woman or steal your man or what have you.
Yeah.
You start breaking down those boundaries and just get them out of your life. Mm-hmm. And you start having more productive relationships with people in all aspects. You know, I love to do business with people that I know are kinky. Well, we make sex toys, but, you know, but it, you know, when you get to know somebody on that level, suddenly they kind of become your go-to person for whatever it is they do.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I think that's why in general, in my life, the number of vanilla friends just keeps dropping because it's hard to talk to people who you know have severe boundaries. And I'm not talking about wanting to fuck all my friends. I do want to fuck all my friends. But I'm not talking about ditching people because they're not interested in fucking us. I'm talking about just you can connect far more with people that you know are open.
Totally.
And if not open to doing something, at least open to the idea of it.
It's funny you mentioned that. I've actually been going through that for, a good year or more now. I'm seeing exactly that. Even the vanilla friends that I have that are, or I should say the vanilla friends that I have that are at least open and accepting, mm-hmm. I've been happy to stick with and keep around. And we do things for each other and we have a good time, but it's because we've had that long friendship and we trust each other. But a majority of my other friends who I used to love and trust have kind of just dropped off the map, and they'll keep asking me for favors. I'll keep doing them, but then when it comes down to me needing something, I can't. Then I look at the new group of friends that I've made over the last couple of years, and I can double or triple the amount of friends that I'd actually be able to ask for a favor, mm-hmm. or just say, hey, would you like to do something a little bit different with me? And I won't get a weird look about why would you ask me that? Or, you know what? I kind of got something to do here. It's almost a built-in, safe zone. You know, once you've already gotten past the sexual barrier, well, okay, I can trust you a little bit more. I can accept you a little bit more, and I can share every part of my life with you. I don't have to cut half of that off.
Right.
And so I feel right. more comfortable in general with all the new friends that we made.
Yeah, I don't like playing the let's pretend we don't do this game with people. You know,
what does that mean?
You know, like I don't want to hang out with someone and have the expectation that we're not going to talk about the more unique aspects of our life, like me going on a date yesterday, because it makes this couple uncomfortable. You know, I'm not going to pretend right. that I didn't. I'm not going to be like, you know, I was fucking this girl the other night. I'm not going right. to do that because I understand yeah. boundaries and I understand comfort levels. But if I can't express something that is so basic and even to a completely inoffensive level, you know, then I don't even want to have the conversation with. If there's an expectation that I'm going to censor myself just for your comfort level, I'd much rather just not, let's just not do this.
I don't want to make new friends and integrate them into my friend group and then get weird looks from my old friends because, hey, are you friends with them now because you're fucking them?
Mm-hmm.
That's weird. You know, maybe we should stay away from you guys. There's just another level of what the fuck going on when I've tried to have one big friend group instead of two separate friend groups. And I've decided I'm tired of having two separate friend groups. You're mm-hmm. either in my friend group and accepting or you're not.
I agree with that because I think it's more important to enjoy life and to be as open and have as much fun as you can. Because you know what? You're only here for so long. And so I want to have as much fun as I can and still be responsible, but enjoy life. I think mm-hmm. you know, to laugh every day, have good conversation. And I'll never forget, like, when we were first going out and the first time we went to a kink club and you met my little friend Dawn. And
yeah.
I so wanted to watch you do her, but I didn't say anything because I was the submissive. But, I mean...
Well, see, now hang on a second.
Story time!
No. Well, not story time, but that is a bad precedent and a bad attitude to be putting out to any submissives that are listening. You're Master, your dominant, always wants to hear when you want to watch them fuck somebody. You're not a bad submissive for saying something like that.
Well, no, I didn't mean that, but
I mean. It's like saying, oh, well, I didn't want to just come up to you and say, hey, how about some pussy?
Well, she plays the submissive and she plays, you know,
right.
a dominant role as well. And that night she asked you if she could take me over and flog me. And
yeah, that was great.
I know. It was great. And she's this tiny. you know, there's some memories that you just will always have embedded in your head and, you know, if you can't fall asleep, think about it. Well, she's one that I will always, treasure because she's just this tiny 4'11" little tiny thing. And her flogger is probably longer than her, wouldn't you say?
Oh yeah. The tails drag on the floor.
Yeah. And they're beautiful awesome. Floggers. So she went up to him and asked she's always wanted to. And so she just asked if she could and he said yes. And so for me, it was like, great, because I was so wet knowing that he's watching some other woman flog me. And so I was, you know, ready.
Oh,
to,
I'm totally a voyeur. You know all.
Oh, I know you are. Yes. We won't talk about
Apparently so am I.
But anyway, those are one of the evenings that they were one of our first evenings that actually it was the first time we went to a kink club together.
Yeah, it was the first time we went to a fetish club together.
Yeah. So it was, but I mean, it was one of those nights that I would have definitely said, okay, her and I had developed friends because I'd been to the kink club with her before. And so we were already friends. So it was like, she's somebody I would not have been jealous of because our relationship was new. I would not have been jealous if you would have said, okay, come on back with us. And
oh, well, yeah. She had a vanilla boyfriend that wasn't even there. So, I mean, that wasn't really on the table.
I think it could have been.
Well, you should have mentioned something back
I know.
Then.
I was a little wet. I know. I was a little bit lost in the whole
night. She was your friend. How am I to know?
Well, it kind of takes us back to Dylan going, should we go this far or shouldn't we? Or, you know, do we approach it? But yeah, that's where she would take on the dominant role and tell the vanilla guy, I'm in charge. Cause that's really how she was. I mean, she was be submissive in the club, but, and sometimes dominant. With me, she was dominant, but that was okay.
You know, dominants can have sex with each other. I mean, actually, I find it's a very specific kind of mojo when two dominants are having sex. It's almost like a fucking competition. And you just fuck as hard and as creatively as you possibly can until somebody gives up or drops dead.
And I agree. And I think that I would have enjoyed every moment of you two trying to fuck me the best.
Wait a minute. How do you give up?
Good question.
Pass out. You get raw. You get tired. Whatever.
Okay. So waving the flag.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's like, gotcha. I'm done. And then the other dominant just won. And dominants like nothing more than winning.
And she does too. She definitely would have taken that ride all the way.
Yeah. Who doesn't like winning after a bunch of great sex?
Yeah. And just to say, I still imagine the turnout of that whole evening differently every time I get a chance.
You should dig up her number.
I'm still in contact with her.
Oh, well then. It's a conversation for later then. What a productive evening this has been on Life on the Swing Set. I'd like to thank you guys.
It's our pleasure.
Thank you.
We're not even recording this. It was just for that. For you.
Yeah,
it's part of
you,
us being givers.
That's okay.
Conspiracy.
That's okay. I know what I'm doing after.
Yes, I do too.
One thing one of our listeners wanted to know is how do you handle sometimes playing and sometimes not? How do you handle these expectations when you are friends that are playmates at times and friends at times? For us, it's the simple calling it a date or not.
Oh. Huh.
That's actually a fairly elegant way to handle it.
When we start to make plans, it's like, would you like to have a date this weekend? Or would you like to hang out and watch a movie this weekend? And rarely do we wind up fucking at the end of movie night.
Right.
And rarely do we wind up just watching a movie at the end of date night.
Really? Interesting.
I think that's a pretty elegant way to handle it. Now, we actually we've been wanting to do a show on the broader, more vanilla friends with benefits topics.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always said, if you want to maintain a vanilla friends with benefits relationship, there are several rules that I've seen work well, but one of them is you have to get together and do things that aren't sex. Mm-hmm. Or else it becomes just a sexual relationship, and it introduces an expectation. If Absolutely. That anytime you get together, you're going to have sex. So if somebody, for example, isn't in the mood for sex or isn't feeling good or whatever, you know, you end up passing on getting together at all.
Really? Some people really aren't in the mood for sex?
Well, it happens.
Really? Okay. I'm sorry.
Well, it's interesting, the whole like calling it out ahead of time, like, you know, making sure that everybody knows what the expectation is for that night. I can see that. I can see how that would be useful to everybody, especially if we're talking about two couples, because it's just that much more communication. But there is something to be said for, at least for me, for that going into it with no expectations and just seeing where the night takes you every single time, or seeing where the whole relationship takes you every single time. I kind of like that ambiguity, just because it lends itself to just the mystery of it, I guess. And there's either a seduction or there's not a seduction, or it's very clear. I mean, it usually becomes clear at some point that, you know, oh, we're going to head home tonight, or, oh, we're not going to head back to somebody's house or whatever. But I'm pretty good about managing expectations in that sense. And kind of like that, not really knowing where the night's going to end. If it is going to be, you know, a sexy night, or if it's just going to be a hangout, have a couple of glasses of wine, and then, you know, retire to our own places for whatever reason. And I don't analyze that either. I don't go to that place of like, oh, why didn't we play and what's going on? It's like, I like being able, maybe it's what I like is the reciprocity of that as well. And being able to, you know, if it's just an early morning the next morning, or who knows, whatever, just being able to enjoy that vanilla with, I think we've shared vanilla with sprinkles before. You know, it's vanilla with sprinkles, and it's so lovely and wonderful, but it doesn't have to go there every single time. Even though it might be fantastic if it did, I like having that mystery and not knowing where it's going to lead.
I'd like to call attention to the hot tub factor for just a second. and hear me out here. All right. So, Tony and I have been doing lots more physical activity lately. We've been doing a lot more skating, and just stuff outside and all sorts of stuff. And we like to invite friends to do the same thing. But after a night of, say, 3, 4, even 5 hours of skating, not everybody's at their sexiest. So near the end of the night, it's a little bit more of a stretch, both on my part, because I may not, I was about to say feel so fresh, but it sounded like a commercial. So let's just leave it at that.
And ball sweat going on is what you're trying to say.
Yes. And the other people
like
may be
a man.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, how would I feel going up to somebody, putting my arm around them and going, maybe I shouldn't put my arm around you, or, you know, whatever it is. But then
I just see you going immediately to the Woody Allen. I'll just take that back. I'll just put it right over here by me.
But if you've already got a hot tub or a destination with a pool or something like that set up, then all of a sudden you're already going to take care of that somehow. Most people, if they're going to a pool, shower first, or, you know, if you're going to go into a hot tub, you know, whatever. So having that option keeps your options open socially. You know,
I suggest offering a sponge bath.
Oh, huh. Yeah, all right.
He's totally lost now. You've lost him.
You can't wait till that hot tub is all together, can you? I think we've lost. I think that's a ringing of the bell.
Totally. You derailed him completely.
I know. I mean, like, I think we lost him.
Yes, in this company policy, boy, we require a sponge bath prior to entering the hot tub.
Yeah. And I have those handles that I haven't yet attached to the shower downstairs that I got to put there. That would make it even more interesting.
Oh, my glass-carrying handle?
Yeah, we actually had them up for a while, but we recently took them down. I think I need to put them back up.
Well, I have one more thing we want to deal with. I have a question from a listener that changes gears a little bit, but still is within the bounds of the topic here, I think. And this is from Green Bean on Cassidy, a single woman. As a single female, I am interested in being part of the swinger world. I am looking for a partner, though I am confused on how to do this. The typical swinger mantra is sex only and not a relationship. I do understand that this is not always true. But if I am looking for a partner in life that is also interested in swinging, how do I go about this without being the creepy, needy female?
Well, I would think there, I'm not an expert on this, but I would hope there's some kind of functionality in the online swinger websites. You know, swingers break up too. So, I mean, there are going to be singles out there with swinging experience that would like to do it again and are basically in her same predicament.
Unfortunately, then she has to comb through the dearth of single males.
Well, yes, I see your point.
My recommendation for this would be to both try on and off the swinging websites. You know, maybe delve into OkCupid a little bit, because OkCupid has, in my experience, been a very open sort of site. And it seems to be the poly destination of choice.
Well, yeah, you might, it might be worth it to, for her to just grit her teeth and start going to a few clubs, because she'll get in, and swingers have single friends, you know, so doing a little bit of face-to-face networking with people, whether she intends to go home with them or not, might be the easiest way.
Discovering a community of swingers, and then they can introduce her to other things,
too. Exactly, yeah.
You know, like if they're in the area of Ginger and Prof, those are would be really great mentors, you know.
Yeah, if anyone's in the area of Ginger and Prof, just knock on their door.
Exactly. I'm going to start thinking about Ginger's thighs again.
We give lessons.
I can't stop thinking about Ginger's thighs.
Well, it's funny.
No, the only
it's
really, problem
no,
with
no, that was though, she specifically asked us to cut that, so you know we should probably not bring it up again.
It's quite all right.
It's funny you mentioned that today too, because I just got a request from a listener to ring the bell for his submissive. On his birthday, she posted a pic of her in red panties with thigh-high stockings and garters, and on one of her thighs she wrote "Daddy's whore," and on the other one she wrote "Happy Birthday, Master." And she posted a pic of it on Facebook, and I thought it was a great pic, so I commented as much, and I got a response about 20 minutes later asking me to ring the bell because she wasn't going to stop blushing for days.
And writing on a leg is just hot for me. I just think it's,
it really is.
Yeah, it is.
Even if it's just an arrow.
Mm-hmm. So then if you have writing on a thigh, though, and you start running your hand up there and then you run it back down, then it starts to smear all that ink a little bit.
She used paint pen. Took a couple of days to come off, but it stuck.
She said, how long is this going to stay on there because it's not coming off? And I thought, well, I'll just keep looking at the picture and enjoying it.
don't write on your thighs like the day before doctor's visit.
Well, you know, I like Sharpie because it's fairly robust, but Sharpie will come off with hand cleaner, like Gojo hand cleaner, anything a mechanic would use to clean his hands will take Sharpie off.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right.
So I'm digging listening to talking about the thigh, people's thighs and writing on thighs. I was just not a fan of myself talking about my own thighs because that's just not okay.
Gotcha.
Like, I don't need to be, you know. Oh, I was going to say ringing my own bell.
I just keep thinking of different thongs.
That one's for you.
Thongs. Well, I meant songs with thighs in them, like American Thighs and other things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Did you actually just go the pun route?
No. It was that I misspoke earlier.
That's time to wrap it up then. When Dylan's going the pun route.
Listen, did we cover that listener question though about trying to find?
I think so.
Partners.
I think you did a good job. Yeah, with
going
to clubs
absolutely.
And
absolutely finding a community.
We gave her three recommendations.
So now then, if we covered that, can we just hear a little bit more about what Ginger was going to say about writing on a thigh? I'm sorry, I digress.
I think you want to write on Ginger's thighs. I think that's what we're getting around to here.
Well, there we go. Just some Schopenhauer quotes or something. That'd be lovely.
Some quantum mathematics?
Maybe.
I know the way to your heart.
My thighs are kind of the way to another place.
They are. So much my the way heart. To another place.
I mean, really, really. If we're talking about arrows. And,
but that
and
place all... is also a way to your heart.
True. So. I just can't stop thinking about some poor physician, like, removing, like, oh, let's check out, you know, your sprained knee, and then moving the gown and seeing someone's, like, shenanigans from the night before in Sharpie. Like, I can't help it.
I don't know. If I was a doctor, I think I'd get a pretty good laugh out of that.
I would, too.
It would brighten
too.
An otherwise probably dull day.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly break up the monotony a little bit.
It absolutely would. It absolutely would. And so that visual, just, like, it's delightful.
It's a conversation starter, too, because the doctor could be like, hey, who's Brutus?
Is anybody I know?
A little oh, it's not arrow your husband. Press to enter.
Of course, when you're using the ready on your thighs as a conversation starter, I guess you're pretty open in the first place.
Yes.
This is true.
Oh, that's priceless.
So we're going to wrap it up here. And oh. If... Now I'm thinking of your thighs again.
My thighs? Really? My thighs?
Yeah, yours. Yes,
well,
that's
you know,
where I went.
Since I've been skating
went
so much.
Went right to your thighs.
I have rock hard thighs right now, and ooh. it's kind of fantastic. It's I'm getting a lot more power per thrust, if you know what I mean.
I know.
When I hear rock hard thighs, it makes me want to bite you.
Ooh. Oh.
Yes. I think he likes that idea.
There we go.
It's a really amazing, though. Like, everything from... Right around my ankle, you know, right where the calf starts, right up to my ass, and even my ass are just rock hard almost all the time now. I'm really liking this.
Don't stop. Keep talking, Dylan.
I know. Makes me want to bite you.
It's like, I don't even need to flex, although I'm flexing right now, and I'm just feeling this, like, man, I'm going to take this dime. There's a dime on my desk right now. I'm going to drop it right on my thigh and see if it bounces off right here. It's like,
now you're just teasing me, Dylan.
He's teasing both of us.
I know.
I'm telling you.
So now I'm flexing the left one and flexing the right one. I'm going to do both at once. Oh, that feels good. I like that.
Okay, if anyone would like to directly email Dylan's thighs, Dylan's thighs at lifeontheswingset.com.
That's a new alias right there.
I'm requesting that he email a picture.
I think he needs to email a picture at this point.
I think it's only fair. He's teased us long enough.
So if you want to see Dylan's thighs, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/theswingset. You can follow us on Twitter at swingsetlife, at ginger and the prof, at shirabycats, at Dylan_swingset. And our guests are at JV Altharas, Altharas, and at JVS_Shara, Shara. You can email us at contact@lifeontheswingset.com. You can give us a call, leave us a voicemail, send us a text at 573-55-SWING. That's 573-557-9464. You can find JV and Shara at sexualdarkage.com and listen to their awesome podcast, Ending the Sexual Dark Age. And you can hear the bell a lot more.
I just realized I missed in our little business section earlier, I missed a perfect opportunity to reference Ending the Sexual Dark Age, because I was talking about how... No, seriously, because we were talking about all these things, about how everything's in the national discussion right now, how it's basically the Dark Age fighting against the people that are working to end the Dark Age.
It really is. And I actually, that occurred to me too. I just decided to pass on the easy plug.
See, you could have just messaged
me. We are all whores and shills over here, so you should never pass on the easy plug. And that goes for in the bedroom as well as out. So, thank you, JV and Shara, for joining us. It's been a pleasure having you guys.
Oh, thanks for having us on.
And,
we look forward, hopefully very soon, to bringing your menagerie over onto our show. We've got a few fun listener mail questions that I think would do great with this group.
Oh, we can't wait. So, thank you all for swinging by.
Thank you. Have a great night.
When it comes to online dating, you at home have a lot of options available to you. But we here at Life on the Swing Set recommend Cassidy.com. We've tried many websites in the past, and while most are adequate and some are even pretty good, the one that we keep coming back to is Cassidy.com. And there are a few reasons for that. First of all, and most important to me, is ease of use. If you want to put a picture on your page, you know how to do it. It's intuitive. It's built in. It's Facebook for non-monogamy. Cassidy also has one of the most aggressive campaigns out there to get the most people all around the world onto the site. Right now, potential playmates are scattered throughout regional websites. Wouldn't it be awesome if they were all in one place so you could search one site and find absolutely everyone you were interested in playing with? Well, that's where the campaign for Cassidy comes in. Cassidy need not be your only site, but we recommend you give it a try. And if you sign up using the link on our page, you support Life on the Swing Set, so we can continue bringing you what's been called the best non-monogamy podcast out there. And if that's not incentive enough, if you join Cassidy, you get to see my wife's tits. How can you argue with that? Cassidy.com.
You're listening to a Swing Set podcast. Hear more at lifeontheswingset.com.